Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and one of my favorite subjects, aside from gold, is uranium. Why? Because it's clean energy for the future. Joining me today is the CEO and Managing Director of Boss Energy, Duncan Crabbe, and we are going to be talking about the recent share consolidation, bit of confusion around that. So I just asked Duncan to come on and just explain the rationale behind that and what's happening going forward. Also, there's been a lot of work being done on and around the site to get ready for when they come back into production at a time that is right for not only the company, but for all shareholders. So it's a really exciting time for Boss Energy. Duncan, great to see you. Not long till Christmas.
Not long till Christmas. Hi, Kerry. Thank you very much for having me back on Small Caps. It's pleasure to be here again today. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Duncan. It's always real. I love what you've been doing with it. But before we go into the progress you're making with the Honeymoon project down there in South Australia, the recent share consolidation, a little bit of confusion in the market. You're back to BOE today, but then there was a little bit of confusion with the share consolidation where it went from BOE to BOEDA. So a couple of things. What was the rationale for the share consolidation, number one? And number two, BOEDA briefly there, what was that all about?
BOEDA is probably the simplest. I mean, that's really, we're in the hands of the ASX and the regulatory environment. It gets into what's called a deferred settlement period. Once post the AGM, where 99% of those who voted at the AGM were in favour of the consolidation, the ASX is notified, then your shares are placed into deferred settlement. And then today it goes back from BOEDA to just simply BOE, our old ticker. So we're back to normal.
Back to normal, ladies and gentlemen, so nothing to worry about. But the rationale with the consolidation?
Oh, look, the rationale is varied. I mean, I think we're just basically taking mature steps forward for the company. So if we go back a year to the previous year's AGM, we changed the name from Boss Resources to Boss Energy because we are focused purely on uranium and being, you know, producing uranium for clean energy, the cycle of mitigating climate change. So it was a mature step forward. This is another example. So what I find is that when presenting a lot to institutions, particularly internationally, it's a constant question. Why is such a great company, a good asset, about to come into production, still trading as a sort of 40 cent Australian cent stock? Why is it so low? And where the questions come from, it's quite interesting. If you look at the Global X URA Uranium Indice, which sort of ranks the top uranium holdings worldwide, we're either in or we're just about knocking on the door of being in the top 10 those. And when you then compare Boss Energy to the others, we're the lowest on a share price basis. The others are well into the dollars. And the reasoning for that is we just have too many shares on issue.
Right.
So then going back into history again, the old Boss Resources used to be a shell that vended in the Honeymoon uranium asset back in December 2015. And already at that point, it had 900 million shares on issue. So, you know, just due to a factor, the shares on issue grew as we were trying to support the company during its period of being in the doldrums. Now we've passed that point. The spot price is higher than the actual all-in costs, substantially higher. It's now, right, let's take the next move forward. What's the next mature step? So this is what the board put forward to the shareholders at the AGM, and 99% in favour of it. So it was it's proved to be, I think, a good move. I personally look at it from wearing the accountancy hat, earnings per share. I think I'd far rather a higher dividend being paid per share being held than a small amount. So you know, as we get into production, once we're producing, our intention is absolutely to produce, you know, cash flow and pay dividends. So that's the goal.
Well, I love that. And by the way, you're looking like a bit of a genius, not only on, you know, first of all, changing the name, doing the share consolidation, but also buying the yellow cake back. When was that?
Back in March of this year. Yeah, that's thank you. That's proved to be, in hindsight, a good move. And I think not only are we long uranium, so it's proved to be financially beneficial. Just really our negotiating ability with off-takers has improved dramatically. I mean, there's real interest in, okay, you saw the writing on the wall, you took a proactive step. Now it gives the fuel buyer confidence that if there is this, you know, as we go through our ramp-up period, they're under no shadow of a doubt that we'll be able to deliver into our contracts. So it's, yeah, it was, in hindsight, a good move.
As I say, looking like a bit of a genius there, Duncan. But let's talk about ramping up, because we're coming into the end of 2021. You have delivered on what you said you were going to deliver, but you've got a lot of progress going on as you ramp up into production. So what's happening coming into 2022? What are you doing? Because you want to really get into that final investment decision, I believe.
We do, absolutely. So really our strategy has been twofold. It's been one of growing the inventory, not just buying physical inventory, but actually now getting out in the field again and exploring, proving up some of our satellite deposits where we've got almost half our JORC resource sits outside of the mining license. So already there's 36 million pounds outside of the mining license and potentially 190 million pounds upside in exploration. So that's one of the sort of dual strategies that we have. Meanwhile, we're still focused on the technical aspects of the plant, getting it technically advanced to come into production. So by that, we completed our enhanced feasibility study in June of this year and immediately gathered the right sort of personnel to form an owners team, the sort of technical experts, all of which reside in Australia, where our asset is based. And then you move into what's called the next phase, which is called front-end engineering design, or FEED is the acronym. Yeah. So that FEED work, what we've announced today is that we're now past halfway completing that FEED work. Most companies in mining would probably wait until they've made a final investment decision to really push on with FEED. But because we have the right team in place and because we know the modifications being put onto the plant behind me, we've just progressed that. So, yeah, we're halfway through and we're really advancing strongly, such that next year we'll complete that program in the first quarter, and then it really is an ability to make a final investment decision, but only at the time of our choosing. And by that, when the market's there for it. We're not going to sign up offtake unnecessarily at low prices. There's no need to. We can afford to wait.
Some of these offtake agreements are fairly long term, aren't they? And also some of these offtake agreements that you do, they'd love to do it right now while the price is where it is. Yeah. But your view is that the uranium price will continue to strengthen, especially, I guess, off the back of COP21 and what they're doing.
We do. And I mean, we've had last week two RFPs or requests for proposals came through. You know, it's definitely, there's interest in the market, and the strategic inventories are really taking a more advanced sort of, trying to, you know, coax developers and producers to sign up these offtake agreements, which is a really healthy sign. And particularly more recently, Encore Energy on the TSX entered into an offtake agreement, which is on the public markets. But that was fascinating because it's the first time a utility, and a big utility actually, entered into an offtake with a developer. So it just shows they're now willing to not only deal with existing producers, but now they're entertaining developers coming on stream. But as you say quite rightly, it's the barriers to entry. Signing an offtake is a lot easier than exiting one. Once you've entered into one, you're signing up for could be 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. You're locking yourself in. So we need to be careful, and we've got a good strategy in place, and we'll be looking more for the market-related contracts that allow us some upside with a rising price, but also protection should the commodity price fall back a bit.
Given the inventory that you bought back in March and that is sitting there, are you looking to use the income from that to help you with all the development that needs for Honeymoon? Just explain to me, I guess, more of the sort of the accounting side of it as to how it will work, because that's almost a hedge where you can use that because you know what that price was at that time and you don't need to enter into other offtakes until that one is, absorbed, if you like.
Yeah, sure. No, thank you. It's really once you make the final investment decision and you start that period of ramp up or commissioning the plant and then ramping up, that's the time that we'd be looking to sell that inventory into either contracts that we've entered into or onto the spot market. But really, the purpose of selling during that ramp up or initial few years of production is to really offset some of that capital expenditure, exactly. The $80 million US that we would have incurred. So, yeah, it's really to, I mean, what you want to do is you want to pay off that big capital expenditure as quickly as possible, so then you really are producing positive cash flow going to profit.
And so what are you looking at? Because I'm looking at this for my investor audience out there. Give us just big chunky timelines and then we'll go back a little bit to see how that you're going to achieve those.
So chunky timelines, looking into next year, really by the end of the first quarter, we would have finished that FEED, the front end engineering design work, as I announced today as well. I mean, we've approved the project execution plan. I mean, we really are very advanced now. Then I guess the question is, at what point do you enter into that final investment decision? So we're staying very close to the market, and we will be doing over this Christmas period into next year, engaging with fuel buyers and just keeping abreast of how the market's developing. Again, the pressure's not on us. It's really choosing the right time to enter into contract. Having made final investment decision, one then goes through a construction phase. We can be That would take 12 months or less than actually 12 months now that we've advanced the FEED. At the end of that 12-month period, it really is commissioning the mine where we start producing. And then it's a gradual ramp up of 18 months or just over 18 months to 24 months. And by then you will be hitting our nameplate production of up to 2.45 million pounds per annum. So it's really construction phase, then commissioning in 12 months, then commissioning the mine, ramping up to full production, and then you've got your life of mine in front of you. So, yeah, it's a sort of quite methodical now. But the key aspect is really having that FEED study done and why it's so important. When you compare all the uranium projects or any mining project out there, everyone puts out feasibility studies, but take a deep look. When was that feasibility study released? Because costs have gone up, exchange rates have moved, it's hard to get people, all those factors that were probably very relevant 2 years ago or 6 months ago have changed and they keep changing. The front-end engineering design work actually now looks specifically at logistics. How am I going to get that piece of equipment from America via Singapore to Australia and dock? What's the price, et cetera? Who's the vendor going to be? It really goes down to that nuts and bolts. And that's the work that we've been doing, and it's going really well. And it's certainly in line or improving upon, I believe, the enhanced feasibility study, which was more any feasibility study. They're quite high level. Now we're getting into the detail. It's really exciting.
Have you found that some of the costs have gone up a little bit more than you would have thought of? I mean, at the moment, there are, I guess, supply chain logistics challenges for people. Some of the prices for diesel are going up, et cetera. Is that impacting you at all?
We're still within the framework of which we put out in the feasibility study. I think, you know, we're quite conservative there, but certainly some of the reagent costs have gone up. One or two have actually come down. Logistical issues, I think, are a key consideration. Mm. Not only international, but also domestically, it's worth really focusing on, and the movement of personnel to actually help with the construction period and see the mine commissioned. Fortunately, where we are in South Australia, there is the Olympic Dams producing, Heathgate are producing, so there is available personnel and skilled personnel. But yeah, the logistical issues we're very much aware of and keeping an eye on. So we've done a lot of work in that regard, and we're confident that we can meet the timeframe in which we've set.
Well, we talked about share consolidation right at the start. That's happened. It's done. There was a little bit of a blip when it first happened, but you're back to where you were before. I guess what I want to see or hear from you is where you see the added value coming in. Is it when some of these offtake agreements are signed and executed, or do you think it's once post-construction? Give us a view for those people out there that go, oh, Boss Energy, that looks interesting.
I think value comes in there. What I'm noticing is a strengthening on the register. Larger institutions really looking for that clear pathway to production. Exactly. And generating positive cash flow. It's almost now that we're breaking away or being, oh, gosh, how big could this resource be, or what work needs to be done from a feasibility study stage. We've moved past there. It's now clear pathway to production. What's the cash flow going to be like? What can we expect to see in terms of bringing in those satellite resources, extending the life of mine and increasing the production throughput? I mean, all our permitting is in order. We have up to £3.3 million export permit. We can grow that. I think over the following year, investors, shareholders should look forward to a constant update of drill results as we expand the resource.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to just ask you very briefly. You talked about exploration before, and you've also talked about current life of mine. Has that exploration surprised you to the upside? How much more exploration are you going to be doing, or is that just an ongoing to grow the resource over the years?
It's really pleasing. I can't comment on the actual current drill program. We're due to complete that by Friday or Saturday of this week. So it's going to plan. We had a bit of rain came through Broken Hill early last week, which interrupted things. So I think about 70 mils fell in 2 days. Yeah, really unseasonal. But the crew's back out there and drilling. So that program finishes mid-December. Basically, and then to set sort of as a break over Christmas, but January, February.
Giving them a break, Duncan. You're giving them a break.
Well, certainly on site. It really gets hot on site in those summer months. Up to 50 degrees. In the shade, so pretty hot. So the next phase of drilling will be March and April, and then that's sort of working on the flanks of those satellite resources, and then we look at do an assessment, then we'd look to do infill drilling. So yeah, we're really excited, and we know that the resource extends outward from the actual mining license. It's just looking at how the best pattern is to develop. So yeah, very exciting stuff. And I think so you'll have drill results next year. You're also going to have some of the work that we'll do on an engineering aspect. Yep. And part of FEED takes this into account, is how can we further expand the existing Honeymoon mine site, or sorry, processing plant behind me. So, you know, we can add a few more ion exchange columns. We can extend the precipitation circuit. We can add another kiln. All those factors have been taken into account so that we can get bigger. And looking at our nearest producer, Heathgate, which is some 260 kilometres to our west, exactly the same, ion exchange and ISR, and they're producing just shy of 5 million pounds per annum. So we're aspirational. We really want to grow what we've got. But the first part of the strategy was, let's get the existing mine up and running that's fully permitted, and be there when the price starts to move, such that we can have that first mover advantage and really capitalise on those expected overshoot in uranium prices way before all the other development projects start to enter into ideas of CapEx and raising funds and building plants. We want to be ahead of that curve.
Yeah, and there's we're running out of time, but I just want to ask you very briefly, given that you are going to go into production, there's a lot of other companies out there that are exploring. That takes time. It takes a lot of time. So in terms of supply demand, that demand curve is quite high. So people will be, you know, I guess not throwing money at you, but you will, when funds are needed, if they're needed, you'll be able to get out there and potentially, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but fast track this as much as you can, because that demand is out there and it's growing, isn't it?
The demand's out there. The taxonomy issue will be clarified soon in the EU, which will be quite a milestone for the industry, seeing that nuclear will become sort of designated as green energy and availing more funds. But we've already got tier one banks now putting proposals in front of us, you know, for debt financing. So I think the financing's there, the investor interest is there as well. And what we see with Sprott wanting to dual list on the NASDAQ and acquiring the North Shore industry, there's a lot of positive work going on behind the scenes at the moment, which sets it up for a really exciting 2022. So our goal was really, has always been, Australia's next uranium producer. It's not just a comment. It's actually to say, you know, we're ahead of the curve. We're going to have that first mover advantage. We're not going to rush things, but if the market's there, absolutely, we'll grab it, we'll take it.
Well, we're running out of time. What I always like to do is to let you do the three reasons why right now it's post-share consolidation, very strong base. You've methodically been going along, ticking the boxes, which we like to see. As you said just now, Australia's next uranium producer. Give us three reasons why investors should be sitting up and taking some really good notice of Boss Energy right now.
I think, simply put, three reasons. As mentioned, technically advanced. We're now halfway through the FEED program. That's due for completion in March next year. And as well, we've got the exploration work going on. We're just about finishing phase one of the first drill campaign. There's a second one to look forward to early in the new year. That's going to show some positive results, I believe. But certainly it's proactive work that we're doing and newsworthy work. But all of that's underpinned by the third and the most important reason. We've gathered one of the strongest operating teams in uranium mining globally. I mean, it really is a first-tier team. And that's the team to take you forward. So none of the feed work wouldn't be possible, the exploration work wouldn't be possible without having that right team in place. And they're motivated, and what gravitates people like that to a project like this is that they believe in it, and they put their integrity and their credentials alongside it because of that belief. So I think that to me, that third reason is probably the most important aspect of this whole mine. Projects only work with people. Our asset is in Australia, our people are based in Australia, and we're ready to go.
Lots of exploration upside as well. Duncan Crabb, really great to see you. And congratulations, by the way, on a really good, strong, solid finish to 2021. And I'll look forward to chatting to you in 2022 as you progress even more of the project. In the meantime, Merry Christmas, and I'll see you in 2022.
Merry Christmas. I can't believe season's greetings have started, but Merry Christmas and thanks very much. And, yeah, really look forward to working with you again next year. Thank you.